Hi there, and welcome to our weekly Insomnia Recovery Q&A. I hope you're doing really, really well and look forward to answer some questions from the community here. You may be wondering, where's Coach Michelle? Wasn't she supposed to join today? Well, it all happened quite quickly. Like actually yesterday, Michelle and I were talking. She was like, hey, maybe I can join for a Q&A soon. And I was like, yeah, how about tomorrow? And she's like, yeah. And then we try to find a time that worked for both of us. And we thought we had one, but it didn't work out in the end. So anyways, Coach Michelle will be here, I think, next week instead, and we'll answer questions together. Now, with that said, I'm glad to be here. And you know, as you're joining here, if you have any questions, please post the questions, as always, in the comments, and I'll reply here. In the meantime, do you have any announcements? And not really, but there was something I wanted to share with you that I thought could be sort of kind of an announcement and something practical as well. So today I had two calls with clients today, and in both calls we actually ended up talking about our roadmap, the roadmap from Oz to Immunity, and which is available to download in the description to any video. You can find a link to download it. And I think it's a very helpful and nice roadmap, but I have reworked it, and the new roadmap I think is actually going to be a little bit more helpful, because the old roadmap was a little bit tricky when it came towards the sort of like the forget it stage, or like when you have the education and the answer became like, okay, now there's nothing to do, just wait. I think the new roadmap has a little bit more practical teachings that apply in that, like, the forget it stage, if you will. So that's the benefit with the new roadmap, and I'm gonna create some more content around it, but I wanted to just like take an opportunity to share with you that there is a new roadmap in the works, and it's going to be simpler and also more practical, I think. So it's going to have it has like four stages as well. No, not as well. It has four stages rather than seven, and those are going to be Oz, Yo-Yo, Seedling, and Immunity. And I see we have some questions here, so that's nice. I'm going to get to them in a second, but yeah. The new roadmap starts with Oz, just like the old one, which is like when we're completely bewildered, scared, we have no clue what's going on. It's a really, really intense, right? That's Oz. It's kind of like the baseline. And then the next step is Yo-Yo, which comes after, like, starting to doing some inner work, starting to educate yourself. We often end up in this Yo-Yo stage where sometimes we sleep quite well, but sometimes we're back in the struggle. Like, it goes back and forth. This is like Yo-Yo. And then here's where things kind of change here. The next phase is Seedling. If you imagine like this plant, you planted a seed and it's maybe beginning to sprout. Maybe you don't even see anything above ground, but it's there. And it's really just a matter of time before that seed, becomes a flower, So Seedling is kind of like a holding, a waiting period that happens after the Yo-Yo phase. And sometimes the Seedling phase can be kind of pretty comfortable. Sometimes it be uncomfortable, but it basically means like you have all the education, all the knowledge, and it's just a matter of time that translates into Immunity, when there's no struggle at all. We have left the struggle completely behind us. And so the difference, with this new roadmap, it has more clear sort of action steps. And when I say action steps, it can signify like, oh, I'm supposed to do something. Well, it's really educational action step. It's like from each step to the next, there's like specific teachings that apply. So that's the new roadmap, and eventually, like pretty soon, we will talk more about that, and I'll explain more. But yeah, just wanted to let you know that that's in the works. And with that said, let's look at some comments here. So Sylvia's here, says hello, good evening, how are you, family? Hope you're doing well. We are doing well, thank you. Thanks so much for being here. And Sylvia says, thanks so much for your recent video on the fear fatigue loop. I've gotten better this past week at letting go of fear of exhaustion, and I find I'm not nearly as tired, even when I don't sleep well. That was from Libby. Yeah. Sorry, I was confused. I thought that was a continuation from Sylvia. But yeah, Libby, I'm so glad to read this. And I think it's just so, it can be so freeing when we see that it wasn't like the number of hours that I was missing that made me feel like exhausted and fatigued and nervous and things like that. It was actually, you know, how I interpreted that and how I reacted to it. Because when we see that, okay, when the reaction changes, everything changes. We don't have to get more sleep. That takes us automatically away from the struggle. That's really nice. But Libby continues here saying, my big issue is that I am prone to a lot of aches and pains when I haven't slept well. This makes it a lot more difficult not to stress about sleep because I just want my aches and pains to go away. Yes, yes, this is pretty common, Libby. And so let's talk about this. So I'm smiling at this point because, like, you know, it can often seem like, well, Daniel, you can find a way to say that everything is expected and common, but really many things, so many experiences really are going to be explained by like hyperarousal and the lack of it or the presence of it and what it does. So what I want to say here is that when we are in a sort of not hyperaroused state, you know, where some type of baseline state, then we may have an ache or a pain somewhere, or a tingling or something like that. But because our brain is not in this like monitoring mode, it's not like looking for things to address or problems to solve or things like that, it just doesn't take note of it. So there is a pain, but it doesn't become like amplified by the brain, like honing in on it, zoning in on it and bringing our attention to it. So that's why we can often, you know, when we are in a hyperarousal state, we often experience more, you know, discomfort. But the opposite can also happen. When somebody is like in a really intense struggle, they actually forget about their pains and aches because they're not paying attention to it. So oddly, both having more pains and aches, experiencing more of those, and experiencing less of them are quite common in the context of insomnia. All right, so that's the, you know, one thing that I think can really help to know that, you know, normalizing any experience is just always really helpful. Now, so the question then becomes, okay, if we haven't slept much, is it really that makes us have like aches and pains? Well, nothing here is medical advice. Like, I'm just sharing my general thoughts, but it can often be helpful to really look at that question, because we can sometimes see that, you know, that other time I didn't sleep much or well, but I didn't have much aches or pains, which means that, oh, okay, maybe it is not like a direct correlation between like this and that. And that always helps, you know, less pressure to sleep always helps. Because of that, you know, we see that, okay, it's not like if I just sleep more, then automatically this will take care of it. Then it takes away pressure to sleep more. And now the other thing here is like, there are things that happen, and then there's kind of like our reaction to them as well. So we can have aches and pains, right? And if we see like, okay, my foot is hurting because like I have a pebble in my shoe, and we take away the pebble, that's nice. But sometimes there, you know, it's not something we can practically do like that. We have some ache or pain that we can't immediately do something about them. So what can we do in that situation? Well, then we have sort of no choice than to work on like our reaction to the situation, and really sort of going towards like, okay, less resistance, being okay with it, reduce the hyperarousal around it, and that makes it a little easier. And so where I'm going with this is to say that so many things can become an internal struggle, including like ache and pain, you know, chronic pain. Really, I think of chronic pain as like a situation where we have an emotional component to pain, and we're like, this pain is unacceptable. It's more than it should be. I have to get rid of it. And the more we try to get rid of it, the more, you know, the more attention is focused on it, the more hyperarousal, the more it bothers us. And then the more we try to get rid of it, and then the more it bothers us, et cetera, et cetera. So that can also become an internal struggle. And then when we find ourselves being like, oh, I have these aches and pains, and that's unacceptable. I can't have them. I think Libby says something. I just want my aches and pains to go away. I just want them away. I just want to get away from them. Sometimes we can see parallels to like insomnia. Like, I just don't want to be awake at night. We become more awake. I don't want to be anxious. We become more anxious. Like, I don't want to have aches and pains. They become a bigger part of our lives, right? So when we see this, we can see that, okay, it's all like the struggles are all the same. You know, the internal struggles always come from wanting something to go away. And when we go in the other direction of being like, how can I make this more acceptable, not judging myself for it, you know, befriending it as much as I can, that leads to more and more peace and nicer experiences. So yeah, I hope that helped, Libby. It made sense to you. Maturo Miro is here and says the following. Can you tell us something about trust confidence if we're struggling with insomnia? To be honest, it feels uncomfortable if there's low trust on your own sleep. How can you grow it? It is part of my thoughts. This is timely and interesting because I was thinking of doing, of doing a video on, like, you know, titled like, how can I grow my sleep confidence or something like that. And so I want to say this, that I think when I hear, like, when I think of, like, confidence in the context of insomnia, I think of, like, sleep confidence. And I feel like there are, like, two different types of sleep confidence, if you will. One is we can look at the confidence that there's actually nothing wrong with me, you know? There's nothing broken inside of me. I understand why this is happening. The confidence of knowing that I'm not broken, there's nothing wrong with me. And that confidence really comes from education, from seeing that many people have had the same experiences and just learning education, we can see that, okay, I have the confidence to know that there's nothing wrong with me. That is helpful. That type of sleep confidence, I think, is helpful. But now there's another type of, you know, confidence we can think of when we hear sleep confidence, and it is like the confidence that I can sleep tonight, you know? And here's the tricky thing. If we look at somebody, if somebody throws a dart, and hits the bullseye one time, we're like, well, then that, maybe that's just luck, you know, that just happened randomly, right? But if somebody consistently throws a dart and hits the bullseye again, then we're like, well, that's skill. Now that person has a skill, right? They can do something. And it can be confusing because in that scenario of throwing a dart, it's true. Like, they must have some skill to be able to do that over and over again, right? But when we look at somebody who sleeps well, it's confusing because a person who just sleeps well night after night after night, we can easily think, okay, the fact that they are able to do this, reproduce this thing night after night, it means they have something, they have some skill, and they must have confidence. They must be so confident in their skill, you know, to make this happen, that they sleep so well. And then we can wonder, like, how can I have that? I need to have that confidence and that trust or that confidence to be able to do that for myself, right? But the confusion comes from, like, the passive nature of sleep. In fact, that person who sleeps so well, they have the secret. They're, like, not doing anything, you know? They're not pondering, they're not wondering, they're not experimenting, it just happens, right? So where I'm going with this is to say, a person who sleeps well has no confidence in their ability to sleep well or trust in that they will sleep well, you know? In fact, sleeping well requires nothing. It doesn't require any sleep or any confidence. In fact, if we think, I have to have confidence to sleep tonight, I have to trust my body's ability to sleep for me to sleep, then we're already on this path of, like, effort, of trying to make sleep happen, you know? And just seeing that nothing is required. Confidence is not required to sleep well. Trust is not required to sleep well. The person who sleeps well does so despite the lack of any confidence in that whatsoever. That, I think, can help so, so, so much. Because when we're in this place of, like, I have to build confidence, I have to build trust, then we are in a place of effort. So that's the first part of this. Then it feels uncomfortable if there's low trust on your own sleep. Yeah, and I think maybe especially so if we think that is wrong, that we're like, I don't have that confidence and I should have that confidence. Then we think that I'm doing something wrong, there's something missing, there's something lacking. And often, you know, the discomfort often comes more from that than anything else, and like our own thinking that we're missing something that we should have, which really, sorry about that, in a way is sort of an expression of self-criticism. It can oftentimes I hear someone say, like, you know, why am I still struggling, why can't I have this, why is this happening, and these can seem like just logical questions, which are you know, are calling for like a kind of straightforward answer, but in reality, they're just forms of self-criticism. Because like, again, sleep is not, it doesn't require anything. So if you're asking yourself, why, what am I doing wrong? It's in self, like, you know, it's just we thinking that we're doing something wrong. It's possible to do something wrong, which is a form of self-criticism. So I guess to answer this is like, the confidence that there's nothing wrong with us, it just comes from education and learning that there are other people that have gone through the same thing, etc. And when it comes to like the confidence to make myself sleep, it's an illusion. It's an illusion. And when we're not trying to make that grow and make that happen, you know, things just gets easier for us and sleep happens all by itself. Okay, Ventura Mira, I hope that made sense to you. And Jay Deep is here and says, thanks to you, it's getting better. Amazing. So glad to hear that. And Swift is here. And I remember, it's actually somebody named Victor who's writing in Swedish and who's saying, hi, it's Victor. I wrote a while back and I'm sleeping really well again. I started exercising, you know, and everything resolved itself. And that's wonderful. So glad, Victor, to hear that. So glad. It requires some willingness to learn and some inner work. So, jätteglad att höra det. Very happy to hear that. Okay, and I think let's conclude there. Next week, again, Coach Michelle will join us, and that will be really nice. For now, I'll just say thanks for the time. And as always, if you're looking for some help on your path, then we are there for you. Just check out our website, and there are many coaching options. Hope you'll find something that fits you. If you're finding your way just from the free content here, that's amazing as well, and do let us know. So with that said, thanks for today, and look forward to having you back next time. Bye-bye.